University of Melbourne, right?
Yep.
Okay. Arjun Pandey, here you go.
Thank you. We seem to have been losing a few people here. My last presentation of this session. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm Arjun. I'm from the University of Melbourne in Australia. I'm a PhD student, and today I'm going to present about my research in microbially mediated nitrogen loss and retention in Australian rice paddies. And during my PhD, I'm being supervised by Dr. Helen Suter, Jim, and Professor Daly Chen. And my research is being funded by Australian Centre for International Agricultural Research. So, talking about rice, most of you probably know that rice is grown under flooded condition for extended period of time. Because of flooding, the paddy soils are really strongly anaerobic. But there are also few microsites in rice, especially in rice rhizosphere, and also in the surface water, where there is nitrification, small amount of nitrification going on, so there is a continuous availability of nitrate. And because the soil is so much anaerobic, the most form of mineral nitrogen in rice paddies is ammonium. So when we look closer on these, as I said, there is nitrate and ammonium in the soil, and mostly it is ammonium, and the ammonium is from the mineralization of soil organic nitrogen and also fixation from biological nitrogen fixation from free-living bacteria. It's the free-living biological nitrogen fixation by free-living bacteria is a larger contributor of nitrogen for rice paddies, rice production. And this ammonium get nitrified in those small aerobic microsites, and the nitrate is lost as dinitrogen gas through denitrification, and this denitrification is also a major and loss factor in rice paddies because of the anaerobic condition in soil. So we all know about this cycle very well, and there are a lot of studies in this cycle, but there are few other important nitrogen cycling paths usually happening in anaerobic system, but haven't been studied in rice paddies so much. So, for example, dissimilatory nitrate reduction to ammonium, a few of previous authors talked about this. So this transform highly mobile ammonium to nitrate to ammonium, so it can be considered as nitrogen retention process because ammonium is less mobile and it's held in soil for a longer period of time than nitrate. And there is another path called anaerobic ammonium oxidation. So this is basically, it also produces dinitrogen gas and is a loss pathway, but the difference between this and denitrification is during anamox, ammonium is oxidized by nitrate. So it combines ammonium and nitrate to produce dinitrogen gas. And if we look at this whole picture together, anamox and denitrification are and loss pathways, and DNRA and biological nitrogen fixation are and conserving pathways. So this process is so complex, interrelated with each other. So to get a better understanding of all these processes in rice paddies, we need to look at all these processes simultaneously to have an idea of what's the relative significance of all these processes in nitrogen cycling. So, but because these are so complex, so how we may study this process? So we can incubate the soil anaerobically in the lab because the soil is anaerobic in the system as well. So if we incubate soil anaerobically in the lab, then we reduce this nitrification process which converts ammonium to nitrate. And then the nitrate starts depleting and we kind of can stop all these processes. And once we know that there is no nitrate or oxygen in the incubation vials, we can then inject 15 N nitrate with more than 98 or 99% 15 N in the nitrate. So once we add this in the same incubation system, then DNRA can start happening again, and similarly denitrification and NMOX as well. So if we can quantify these 29 N2, 30 N2 production or 15 N ammonium formation through DNRA and including biological nitrogen fixation, then we can estimate all these processes together in the same same rice ecological system. So for that, with that objective of simultaneously studying all these processes, we collected soil from New South Wales, where rice is mostly grown in Australia, where more than 800,000 hectares of land is under rice cultivation. And surprisingly, the rice nitrogen use efficiency in rice production in the region is 70%, which averages 70%. We collected soil from three different rice paddies, and our objective was to include three different level of organic carbon in the soil and nitrogen in the soil, and the soil pH of these three different places were slightly acidic. So we incubated, as I mentioned before, we incubated soils in those kind of vials. Anaerobically, we flushed them with helium and created a perfectly anaerobic condition. We had a preliminary experiment going on parallelly to assess if these are actually anaerobic or not. And then for DNRA, NMOX, and denitrification, we use 15N isotope pairing method, which has already been used in other studies. And for biological nitrogen fixation, we use fairly simple acetylene reduction assay technique. So for the NMOX, DNR, and biological nitrogen fixation, the vials were completely filled with soil slurries. And for ARA method, there was head space for ethylene measurement. And we also extracted DNA to study NOSJ gene abundance, which is related to the reduction of nitrous oxide to N2, and HZSB gene, which is related to NMOX, and NRFA gene, which previous presenter were talking about. This is related to DNRA and NRFA gene, which is related to biological nitrogen fixation. So we incubated those vials, and we had different vials for different time points, and then we measured these gas emissions, gas productions, or 15N ammonium formation, or ethylene production rate. So assuming this linear production, we then calculated the rate of each of those processes. So when we looked at the nitrogen loss, in particular, denitrification was the dominant N loss pathway in all the rice paddies. There was no difference between soil from Finlay and Geraldine. So the x-axis is three different soil, and the y-axis is the nitrogen loss per gram soil per hour. And poorer soil had a lower denitrification rate, and we couldn't detect NMOX in two soils, but only in we only detected it in Finlay soil, and it was considerably lower as compared to denitrification. So if you remember, the core soil had higher organic carbon, so we think that high organic carbon should also enhance denitrification process, but here it's kind of opposite. Maybe if we look at the N retention process, it may explain it. So I will talk about it in the next slide. And when we look at the denitrification gene, it kind of followed the trend of denitrification rate. And we, the NMOX gene was highest in Finlay soil, where we detected the NMOX rate. And with the Finlay soil, this This soil has been used for rice production continuously for a few years, but other two soils, they are rotated, like rice is grown at every 2 years or 3 years, so they are not continuous. So maybe Enamox, due to the anaerobic condition build up in this soil, maybe we detected that in only one soil, but we can't say it for sure why we couldn't detect in other two soils. And when we look at the nitrogen loss, nitrogen retention, so the DNRA was actually very high. It was kind of surprising that DNRA rate were higher than biological nitrogen fixation. And there are a few other studies in sea sediments in other anaerobic system which suggest that DNRA sometimes can even outcompete denitrification rate. So, but there was no difference in any of these soil in the DNR rate, and maybe due to this high N retention potential of core soil compared to other soil, there was lower denitrification rate when we add all the loss and all the retention process. Actually, core soil was highly efficient for N conservation, internal N conservation. We tried to see if there is any the relation between the gene abundance of DNRA or biological nitrogen fixation with the rate. We couldn't find any relation with the DNRA, but there was a positive relation between nitrogen fixation rate and the NIFS gene abundance. So, in conclusion, DNRA actually strongly compete for nitrate component in the soil with denitrification or Enamox. So this need to be really focused, and we need to explore more how this, what are the factors affecting DNRA rate, and how we can increase this rate in to so that we can internally retain more nitrogen in rice paddies. So this simultaneous study kind of explain maybe some factor of why the nitrogen use efficiency in this region are high. But the problem is ammonia emission is one of the big problem of rice production in alkaline soil. So this DNRA and biological nitrogen fixation, they retain nitrogen as ammonium. The alkaline soil may have this problem, and this benefit we are getting from retention can be offset by this ammonia volatilization loss. And that's all for my presentation. And I would like to thank Farrer Memorial Trust and CSIRO for funding my travel from Australia to here. And thank you for being here. So I added, so there was the nitrate label in the soil was around 2 ppm. So to not to exceed that, I added around 1 ppm, depending on the level of nitrate in those soils. So these soils were collected and used for glasshouse study to grow rice, and then the fresh soil was used for incubation. And in the fresh soil, usually there is very low nitrate because of the anaerobic condition. And not to exceed that, I added lower, at least less than 50% of nitrate as 15N nitrate. And the proportion was in core soil, the denitrification was 0.6 micrograms, so I added 1.5, so almost 40% was 40% of nitrate was denitrified in core soil. No, we just collected soil from rice growing region and did this glasshouse, grew rice in the glasshouse, and then used rice. So that's one of the limitations of this study, that we these biological nitrogen fixation don't account for cyanobacterial or aerobic nitrogen fixation. It's only anaerobic because we created anaerobic system within the vials.
In the field, you notice any?
Oh yeah.